Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about the My Life, My Story project at the Minneapolis VA, check in with the Yellow Ribbon Company, Allianz Life, and get a report from our County Veteran Service Officer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Maintaining personal readiness ensures that our force is physically and mentally prepared to execute the mission. It can be challenging for service members who drill 1 week in a month to maintain the fitness level of those on active duty. That's why every Minnesota National Guard unit has leaders to assist soldiers and airmen with maintaining fitness goals and healthy lifestyles. As the Army prepares to roll out the new combat fitness test, it's vital for our service members to take advantage of the resources their units provide. In the meantime, make sure you have a healthy eating plan, get 7 to 9 hours of sleep daily, and of course, drink water, preferably a minimum of 8 cups per day. Please join me in making a commitment to the health and wellness of our force so we can ensure the Minnesota National Guard is always ready.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Casey Gunderson, who is a recreation therapist from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Casey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me back.
Casey, just want to get into your background a little bit. I understand you graduated from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse.
I did. I was there for a couple of years with an undergrad in therapeutic recreation. We had a great time.
And how did you get to the VA?
It was happenstance. I happened to be working at a nursing home for a couple of years, and they unfortunately shut down. And I saw an ad in the paper for a rec therapist working on our brand new polytrauma unit at the time, and I took the opportunity.
So I understand when you first started there, you were working in polytrauma and then the pain center?
Correct. Yeah. So when the pain center opened several years ago, I liked to develop a new project and new program and took the opportunity to build that from the ground on up and add recreation therapy to our pain services.
So part of the recovery process for our veterans in those two sections was some kind of movement or
absolutely
therapy?
Yes, absolutely. Getting back to life and getting to do things that bring you joy and getting out and moving and interacting in your community is a fundamental part of any program, really.
So part of that's what we hear when somebody goes in for some kind of surgery or some kind of special thing. There's a reason they get them up quick.
Exactly. You got to get them back
and
moving.
Or the next day.
Yep. Yeah, get them back on their feet.
Is that proven that speeds up the recovery if you get moving right away?
You know, I don't know if it's been proven, but I sure have seen it work quite well. You know, if you've got something that is motivating and you want to get back to, then it's more power to get you back and get you healed.
So some of that might just be getting up and understanding I can do this again.
Absolutely.
And then start taking care of yourself and keep moving down the road.
Yes, yes.
Now, you've started a new chapter there because I understand you've got a new program called My Life, My Story. What's that project all about?
So My Life, My Story aims to collect veterans' stories in their words, and we sit with veterans and interview them and then write a narrative. The unique part about My Life, My Story, aside from the storytelling, is that we are able to put this story in their medical file, and it allows providers and clinicians to deeply connect with the veterans that they're serving, that they're working with.
So is the story so that you can recognize what they've gone through, what they've experienced while they were in the service and since?
Yes, it's any story they want to tell. So I always tell them nothing's mandatory, nothing's off the table, but it's whatever they want their care team to know. So it could focus heavily on military or their family or their career, could focus on their medical conditions, whatever they want their care team to know. You know, when we do a chart review, we look at medications and diagnosis and surgeries and medical pertinent information, but we don't know the veteran's pertinent information, and this is a way to do just that.
So you are a recreation therapist. Is this an extension of the recreation therapy, or is it an addition? How does this all fit?
Sure. So it blends beautifully in recreation therapy. We use narrative medicine and therapeutic writing. We've done that for years and years and years. So this opportunity sort of stumbled across my path, and I've been able to integrate it into the work that I do as a rec therapist every day.
So the project, My Life, My Story, is that special to Minneapolis, or is that across the VA?
It's across the VA. It started out in Madison, interestingly enough. And Thor Ringler is a writer, and he was able to help develop and launch this project in Madison and then roll it out nationwide. So I believe we're about one of 40 sites across the nation that have launched My Life, My Story.
We're speaking with Casey Gunderson, a recreational therapist for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. So When, at what point in your interaction with the veterans that you care for at the Minneapolis VA do you bring this My Life, My Story up?
I do it right away because I'm curious. As a recreation therapist, I want to know who is coming to see me. And I get to do it naturally in my normal intakes. But I don't wait very long because I think it's a great way to really get to know who the veteran is that I'm working with. So for me, right off the bat.
So that helps make the connection?
I think so. And it helps build our therapeutic alliance. You know, it helps them trust me. It helps me get to know them. And we, I think it brings us two steps ahead right off the bat.
So it's a little more than just say, who are you? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine. Where did you serve? Hey, Navy, what'd you do? What's your story? Tell me about who you are.
Yes. Yes.
So it helps break the ice. Now, do they readily open up, or are some of them a little slow about it, or how's it go?
Well, I found that when I can sit in a room with a veteran for an hour of dedicated time with no other agenda than just to listen, that they disclose things that maybe they haven't before. So they tend to open up because they know I'm not there to set a goal or prescribe a medication or do anything else other than to truly listen. So that's a gift to the veteran. I believe it's a gift to myself as well, to just sit and be present and hear what really matters to them.
So you listen to their story and then you write it up?
I do. So we audio record, and then the volunteer or the staff write up the story, and we narrow it down to 1,000 words. So from an hour-long conversation, we narrow it to 1,000 words, and then we get to reconnect with the veteran and share with them their story. So we write it, and then we read it back, or they read it, and they can make changes. Most of the time, we get it right on the first try. There's little edits here and there, and once it's approved, then we give the veteran copies to take and share with their people and their family and whomever else, and then with their permission, we incorporate it into their chart.
So then when they bring that back home, that might start some conversations that they've never had with their family.
You're exactly right. There's been several stories of, you know, someone will leave the interview and say, I've never told anybody this before, and I'm ready to share this with my family.
So, Casey, we've heard from veterans for 9 years now, folks that come in and they'll start sharing a story with us. And when they leave, I'll ask them, have you talked to your children, your grandchildren about this? And they'd say, no.
Yep.
Fairly common, I think.
Fairly common, and when we provide this safe space with no other agenda, then these stories can come out and finally be shared and honored.
So after some of these veterans have taken their stories home, have they come back and talked to you about what's happened at home with those stories?
It's always been a positive response, and it always feels like a release, like they've been holding these stories close, and finally they had the format to be able to disclose and share them.
Casey, one of the things that we've seen, and I'm no doctor, so I can't testify to this, but a lot of veterans experience some things in combat or in their military service, and they shove it in the back to their memory, and they don't want to deal with it, and it bothers them. It mm-hmm. just picks away at them. Mm-hmm. And what I've heard is that if you can take whatever that is that's bothering you, take it out, look at it, talk about it, deal with it, put it away, then you can move on with your life. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
I've experienced that to be true. Sort of like, you know, there's a file that just won't get shoved down into the file system. It keeps hitting the drawer when it gets closed. And when you can take it out and deal with it and look at it in a different way, it will sometimes go more seamlessly into that file folder of your memories.
And give you an opportunity to move on with your life and see what's out there.
Absolutely.
So you're smiling the whole time we've been talking here. You really enjoy these My Life, My Story.
I do. I feel like the luckiest person that I get to champion this program at the VA. It's been a gift.
Well, Casey, for our listeners out there, you've brought along one of these My Life, My Story, and we're only going to use a first name so that we don't get any veteran in trouble. But when we come back from the break, Sergeant Johnny Angelo is going to come in here, and he's going to take the part of Steve, and we're going to listen to that story and then analyze what that's done for that soldier. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Casey Gunderson, who is a recreational therapist at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, about a new project called the My Life, My Story Project. And Casey, can you just tell us again, as part of your interaction with veterans, you like to get them to open up and tell a story, and then you record it, you type it up, bring it back to them, and then they say, I didn't say that.
Sometimes they do. More often than not, they say, wow, that's a great story, and let's get it in the chart. I want my doctors and nurses to see this as soon as possible.
So part of this is so that the folks that work at the Minneapolis VA get some background on who they are. It's in their medical records.
Absolutely. In addition to the medical information, they get the veteran's story of what they want to know, and they, you know, they feel connected. And when we feel connected, we can give the veteran the very best care.
And we want to demonstrate how this works to our listeners today. So we've asked Sergeant First Class Johnny Angelo to come in. And Casey brought us a story from a soldier named Steve. And Sergeant Angelo is going to read that story on behalf of Steve.
I'm a lifelong resident of Minnesota. I graduated in the spring of 1968. 2 days later, I got my first draft notice. I was set to have the physical and have an emergency appendectomy. I waited a few months. I was looking for the reserve units when I got my second draft notice. I started my first term of law school. They told me to finish the term, and before the next term started, I got a third draft notice. They were after me. They knew a quality product. During my draft physical, I was told I had the beginnings of pilonidal. It's a cyst at the base of my spine. A train ride to Fort Lewis was just what my cyst needed. In the third week of training, I was at the latrine, and a drill sergeant came in and raised hell with me about my performance. I just got off the stool and turned around. I was in the hospital for almost 2 months and had to recycle. I heard about a military intelligence. You live in a metropolitan area and run background investigations. A year out of Vietnam sounded like a good deal. I didn't read the fine print. They needed people, made the program look attractive, and they over-recruited. What are they going to do with a bunch of Army counterintelligence-trained people? Send them to Vietnamese language school. I spent a year learning Vietnamese. There I formed very strong friendships. The first sergeant let us have a house off base. We called it the Swamp. We spent 9 months there having a high old time. The five of us remaining got together every 2 years. We all have Agent Orange disabilities. You go to Vietnam to fight the enemy, not to be defoliated by your own government, but that's what's happened. There were seven of us in this little village called Vo Dat Ben Thuy province. We all rotated out on all-night radio watch. Next to the hooch was a corrugated metal storage box covered in sandbags. Inside there were 10 huge batteries, radio, and antenna. I'm in there one night, 2 months from going home, just sitting up trying to stay awake. All of a sudden, the radio wakes up. My heart's in my throat. I got the rattle wheel out, and I'm decoding. Imminent. Possibility of massive ground attack at your location tonight. Tonight! First thing they go after when they attack, communications. Who is on the night watch? Me. I wake up everybody. They got the clackers to hook up, the Claymore mines. I told them to get back to the radio room. Nothing happened that night, but I will remember that as long as I live. With a month ago, I reapplied to law school. The dean of admissions responded, "I guess because you're a veteran, we will have to take you. But don't expect to succeed because caliber of students is much better than when you were here before." That was my acceptance letter. He was right. They were all smarter than I was, but thanks to the military, I learned how to work. No one could outwork me, and at the end of the first year, out of 280 students, I finished third. I graduated 13th in my class. The Army did a lot of good for me, and I appreciate it. I did not like the way that we were treated when we got home. My college and high school friends are apologetic about their vocal behavior. I don't think they realize the harm they did to people. It's nice to have people come up and thank me for my service now, and I make a point to thank others in uniform.
Thank you, Sergeant Angelo. It's sometimes hard to read other people's writing, but you did a good job of that. Casey, that was kind of a wide-ranging message from Steve as he talked about going into the service and in and out of law school and back to law school. He had some things that he didn't appreciate how they went, and, and of course, he didn't like where he was that night of the attack.
Right.
But a lot of us have been through that. Now, when he came back and read his story after you did that, what did he have to say to you?
He liked it. You know, he gave a great interview. We sat and talked together for an hour. And so this is just a portion of what we talked about. And we were able to kind of pick out the pertinent parts, the parts that he really wanted to include. And he was pleased. There were a couple little changes per normal, but he approved it almost right away.
Now, that must have cemented your relationship with him and your trust between him, because you were recording, you were transcribing, you were giving it back to him, fixing it up, and then he took it home to his family.
Yes, he did, and now it lives in his medical chart as well.
And have you seen him since? How did his family react to that?
You know, we wrapped up our therapy, our time together, with a story, which sometimes is a nice way to conclude my treatment phase with people. But I've seen him in passing a couple of times, and he's had nothing but good things to say.
And you're smiling again, so you like the part of this, my life, my story, don't you?
I do. I love it. I'm curious about people's lives, and I want to walk in without an agenda and just listen, and this allows me to do that.
And How can people get connected? How can people participate in this if they want to?
Sure. So if you're a veteran and you would like to tell your story, we have people who are ready and willing to hear it and help you write it. You can email me at vhaminmystory@va.gov.
And do you try to incorporate this with all of your recreational therapy veterans?
I do. Unless they are a strong no, I really encourage it. It's been a positive experience for all.
And I just have to ask this. After they've done this and after you've approved the story and after it's ready to go and they've shared it with their family and so forth, do they feel better? Have they gotten something off their chest? Does it help them move forward?
I think so. I think it helps to give worth and value and to honor their experiences. And then it does. It helps them move on and take whatever next steps.
And the next steps, since you're a recreational therapist, mean get up and get moving.
That's right. Get out. Get yourself on a bike. Get out to the golf course. Do whatever brings you joy.
We talked about that the last time you were in. If you kind of give up and just sit in the chair, bad things are going to happen.
That's right.
But if you clear your mind of whatever the issues might be and get on with your life, the world is out there. There's fun things that can happen.
Absolutely. They're just waiting for them.
So the big key is all the doctors tell us is eat right, exercise, get moving, find something you're interested in and get engaged.
Yes, exactly. Find something that's motivating and meaningful and go do it.
So part of what you're doing is getting them moving, but also getting them fired up. Let's get back to life. Let's take care of your family. Let's go find some fun.
Yep.
You know, maybe let's go hunting. Let's go fishing. Let's keep whatever your new normal is.
Yes, exactly. There's nothing you can't do. Sometimes you just have to do it in a new way.
And as we age and as we suffer from whatever might have happened to us in the service, life isn't the same as it was.
No.
But life can be good and life can be full. Make the most of it.
Absolutely. Focus on the positive. Focus on what you can do. And you're right. Just get involved.
All right, Casey, we just got about 30 seconds left. What's your final message for our veterans listening today?
My final message is everybody has a story. Believe it or not, you do. Anybody who's listening, stories are healing. They're powerful. They are meaningful. And getting them out and sharing them is a really important part of your overall wellness and medical process.
And for all you veterans out there, you've got to meet Casey Gunderson. She is smiling and happy and loves telling these stories. So get over to the VA hospital and tell her some more stories. And Casey, thanks for coming back to see us again.
Thanks for having me.
This is Casey Gunderson, recreational therapist from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet a yellow ribbon company, Allianz Life. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with the yellow ribbon company, Allianz Life. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Happy birthday to the GI Bill. On June 22, 1944, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, known informally as the GI Bill. This landmark legislation transformed the lives of millions of veterans who helped shape the future of our nation. The men and women who came home from World War II, commonly referred to as GIs, went on to colleges and universities, built businesses, and became known as the greatest generation. Upon signing the bill, President Roosevelt said, quote, "With the signing of this bill, a well-rounded program with special veterans benefits is nearly complete. It gives emphatic notice to the men and women of our armed forces that the American people do not intend to let them down," end quote. Today, there are several GI bills to choose from. Knowing which one you qualify for and how to apply can help you make sure you get the benefits that you need to reach your educational goals. Visit MinnesotaVeterans.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Allianz Life became a yellow ribbon company on August 22, 2013, and we have two guests in the studio today to help us discover what's happened since then. It's Bill Ryan, Assistant Vice President, Human Resources Business Partner, and Ryan Thone, who is an internal retirement consultant for Allianz Life. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lyons, for having us on. We're proud to be here.
Bill, I want to start with you. I understand you spent some time in the United States Navy.
Absolutely. So I graduated from high school in 1986, the exact month that Top Gun hit movie theaters. And so 4 months later, I joined the United States Navy at the age of 17.
And you wanted to join the Navy and see the world, I guess.
Absolutely. That was the plan. It was an opportunity to see the world and also at the same time to take advantage of the GI Bill.
So you're happy you did that?
I'm absolutely happy I did that. It's probably the best experience of my life to serve our country and to be exposed to such a vast array of countries and people and diversity. It was a fantastic experience.
And how long have you been with Allianz Life?
This is my 17th year at Allianz Life, and it's a pleasure to work in human resources. I've had an opportunity to be involved in the Yellow Ribbon application process for our company, and it's hard to believe that it was 6 years ago that we became a Yellow Ribbon company.
And we're going to talk about that as we go on. We want to talk to Ryan. Ryan, I understand you served in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Yes, I did, from 2009 up until January of this year.
And we were talking earlier off the air. You were over there on a deployment when I was last over there in 2016 to do the show.
I was, but unfortunately I was in Afghanistan when you guys were over, so.
What was hotter, in Kuwait or in Afghanistan?
Oh, Kuwait was far worse. Okay. Far worse.
And how long have you been with Allianz Life?
I've been with Allianz now for about 2 years, currently working as an internal wholesaler for Alabama and the Florida Panhandle.
Now, Bill, we're going to come back to the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon.
Yes.
As we said earlier, Allianz became Yellow Ribbon on August 22nd, 2013. Proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon company. Were you part of that process?
I was part of that process, yeah. I didn't lead it. However, I was part of the project team. Neil Mackay was our executive sponsor for our Yellow Ribbon application process.
And we've had Neil on the show, and he told us about it some years ago. How's it been going over the last 5-6 years?
It's been going fantastic. You know, we just continue to evolve and work to get better. We really strive to be a welcoming and inclusive culture. And certainly our veterans are a big part of our culture and what we try to bring into Allianz Life.
And Ryan, when you joined the company, did you seek out the fellow veterans at Allianz?
I did. I definitely did. Actually, within the first week, wrote an email to our ops or board to see how I could join.
And there's something comforting about meeting a fellow veteran, whether it was Navy or it was Air Force or even the Marines. We all have something in common besides giving each other a little bit of trouble about which service we served in, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a nice way to get welcome to the company and feel comfortable early.
Yes. Yep. It definitely helps. Absolutely helps.
So, Bill, within Allianz Life, does your veterans group help fellow veterans and families? I assume you've had some people that have been deployed that are maybe in the reserves.
Absolutely. We sure have, Tom. And it's exactly what our company strives to do, not only from our employee benefits programs, but also from our employee resource group that Ryan was mentioning. It's called Operation Serve. That started as well in 2013 as a best practice coming out of Yellow Ribbon. That group, Operation Serve, is very welcoming to veterans and to anyone connected to military service, even those who don't have any affiliation with the military and are simply curious or learning more about the military. So we try to create awareness for new employees coming into the firm about Operation Serve and all of our other employee resource groups as well about how they can connect. And I do think you're absolutely right that people with military service, they bump into each other. It's a sense of community, and it helps people to really feel like they belong.
We're speaking with some guests from Allianz Life, a Yellow Ribbon company, on Minnesota Military Radio. Ryan, I want to come to you. You've experienced deployments, and when our service members deploy, they sacrifice, but their families back home sacrifice. Sometimes I think even worse, because you get into a battle rhythm when you're over on a deployment where the family has to stay back here and take care of all the crazy things that can happen in daily life.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. The nice thing is, though, is that from the HR standpoint, we actually put into place, we cover 2 years of getting your original pay while either deployed or going to your 2-week annual training or just going on weekend drills. So definitely helps out from a financial standpoint for a family.
So, Bill, Allianz Life has a pay differential system so they don't get less pay when they're serving?
That's right. In fact, it's not only that they don't get less pay while they're serving, it's actually that our employees are able to keep their Allianz Life pay, and then the military pay is actually on top of that. So it's a benefit that
we've— better.
Yeah.
Good work.
So we're really proud of that offering to those who serve our country and our employees of Allianz Life. So again, it's not just the differential. It's that they keep their Allianz Life pay plus the military pay on top of that. And for those folks who do go on deployment, and we certainly do have employees who have experienced deployment, we also offer employee benefits at the same rate they were paying with Allianz Life. So we really try to not only take care of the individual, but we also try and take care of their family as well.
Well, that was the next question, Bill, because we see a lot of the yellow ribbon companies when one of their members is deployed, Guard or Reserve, the company, 3M, Allianz Life, some of the others, have an active program to be a resource for the families if they need help.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, going back to the origins of this with Neil Mackay, I think it really takes top-down support in a company to bring this to life, people who are passionate and really care about employees. So I think those programs are really impactful, and it really goes a long way, not only for our employees, but also for their families.
Ryan's got to be important to you to be a part of a great company like this that takes care of those families when we have employees that are deployed.
It definitely is. Before I came to this company, I was actually on deployment. It would have been far, far nicer if I would have had all these benefits with the original company I was at. So coming into this company and seeing what they actually do for their employees and the employees' families is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And Bill, having served in the Navy, I think you know how important it is for all of those people that are deployed. We need to keep them focused on the mission. And one of the ways to do that is make sure they're not worried about their families back home.
That's right, Tom. And that's exactly why we offer the benefits that we do. We, for one minute, don't want our employees to be worried about their families when it comes to income or when it comes to benefits. So it's really important to us.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some community partnerships and a little bit more about what it means to be a yellow ribbon company. We're speaking with Bill Ryan and Ryan Thom from Allianz Life. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Bill Ryan and Ryan Thom from Allianz Life today about the process they went through to become Yellow Ribbon Company in August of 2013 and all the great things that have happened between then and now. And Bill, I want to talk to you. The Yellow Ribbon organization, mm-hmm. a couple of times a year, brings together the Yellow Ribbon companies from all over Minnesota. And there's a lot of big names, the 3M, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Xcel Energy, and, of course, Allianz Life. But one of the things that happens there is you get a chance to trade best practices.
Mm-hmm.
And you get an opportunity to meet some really great veterans from all those big companies all over Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. It's a fantastic opportunity to come together as a larger community with the Yellow Ribbon Network. And it's interesting because a lot of these companies are actually in day-to-day competition with one another in business, and yet we come together in community to try and serve veterans. And so we share best practices at these meetings around how we can recruit and support veterans, how we can onboard them, pay and benefits, really all of the best practices that an employer can take to be welcoming to veterans and to try and recruit and make a difference.
And one of the things that's a little different about those get-togethers is most of the people there are veterans from one service or another, like Navy or Air Force or even the Army National Guard. But it's easy to meet those folks because there's something about that fraternity of veterans, isn't there?
There's something about that fraternity of veterans, and especially the Navy veterans, I would say. But, Tom, you're right. I think even more broadly, Army, Air Force, et cetera, yeah, they're important too.
Ryan, you're going to let that go unchallenged? Minnesota Army National Guard, there's a lot of you around here.
There's way too many of us, so I don't know. I don't think he wants to speak too much more about
all
that.
All right.
Fair enough.
We'll be good. We're on the radio. Bill, one of the other things we want to talk about is some community partnerships.
Yes.
Allianz Life has gotten involved with a lot of different organizations that do some really good stuff.
Yeah, we're really proud of that. Our employee resource group is called Operation Serve and was really named by our employees for a purpose. We are externally focused to help serve in the community. So an example of that would be the Yellow Ribbon community that our company is domiciled in Golden Valley. And so we occasionally get from Golden Valley outreach needs for veterans in Golden Valley. Maybe it's to shovel a walkway for a veteran. Maybe it's to clean out a garage or to help out with a broken window. And when we get those alerts, our Operation Serve group sends out an email to all of our members. We call it a serve alert. And sure enough, we always get more than enough employees who are willing to go out into the community and help those veterans in need. So whether it's partnering directly with Yellow Ribbon Communities or the Yellow Ribbon Network itself, or whether it's Habitat for Humanity or any of the other organizations that we serve with, including yours, we're very proud of the service that we give back to the community.
And, of course, you're talking about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and we run a golf classic, and Neil McKay's helped us with that every year, not only to be a sponsor in golf in the tournament, but I think I told you off the air, we asked for 10 volunteers for the bag drop again this year, and I immediately got an email back saying, we'll be there. It's pretty exciting to have an organization like Allianz. Ryan, you must get the emails. Your company allows you on company time to go out and help with these volunteer missions.
Yep, they absolutely do. From golf to really anything that comes up, we're actually asked to go out and do these things and get paid for it. So it's great, great involvement to have with the community.
Bill, you've been there for quite a few years, but I've got to believe this is a big part of the culture at Allianz Life. We're going to help the community. We're going to get engaged. We're going to do these things.
Absolutely, Tom. It really is. And, you know, obviously we're here today to talk about veterans and Operation Serve. That extends to many other groups within Allianz Life as well, whether it's the LGBTQ community or others. We're really striving to be a welcoming, inclusive company that really makes people feel like they belong.
And a partner in the community, and you're backing it up with your volunteers and your money and the whole culture over at your company.
Yeah, I really think it comes down to walking the talk, and that was the process that Annette Kuiper walked us through to become a Yellow Ribbon company. It's a rigorous process. You have to demonstrate a business case and a commitment to having the right type of outreach and recruiting to attract military veterans, that you have the right pay and benefits to support them while they're here, and that you have the right culture and leadership to support all of the above.
And, of course, Bill, Annette Kuiper is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, and I call her a Yellow Ribbon lady because she's been involved in creating all of those Yellow Ribbon communities, all the Yellow Ribbon companies, and I usually accuse guys like you of being under her influence when you became Yellow Ribbon.
Yes, we absolutely were under Annette's influence, and she's led us down the right path. We're very proud to be a Yellow Ribbon company and very proud of all that we do, not only for our employees, but certainly for the community as well.
Now, Bill, Annette's out on the warpath. She's looking for more companies to become Yellow Ribbon. If there's other company owners out there listening today, what would you have to say to them about the opportunity to participate and hire veterans and become a Yellow Ribbon company?
I think what I would say is that it's a win-win opportunity. And anytime you can embark on a win-win opportunity, why wouldn't you? Military members are highly trained. They're highly motivated. And so why wouldn't you want them in your workforce? As well, the other win is an opportunity to really give back. Our CEO, Walter White, talks all the time that we're true to the people we serve each and every day. We're a company that's true to our promises. And so we, too, are true to veterans in our company by making sure that when they're deployed, that they're paid and that they don't have to worry about their family's benefits. And we're proud of the promises we make to our community as well. It's a win-win.
Bill, as an employee of Allianz Life, with everything you've told me today, it's got to feel good to be part of a community that's got, or a business that's got that kind of culture and participates and does some great things.
It's a fun feeling to walk in every day and see all of the items on the wall, whether it's Yellow Ribbon or now Allianz Field. We're very involved in the community, and you're right. It's a feeling of pride.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Mr. Lyons, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bill Ryan and Ryan Thone from Allianz Life became a Yellow Ribbon company in August of 2013. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, the Brown County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and a fellow Air Force veteran. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Veteran Radio.
Thank you very much for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, as we when we met last time, we learned that you served for 23 years and 8 months in the United States Air Force as a loadmaster. And I would imagine that kind of experience gives you upper hand when you're out looking for veterans in Brown County and trying to take care of them.
Oh, it sure does. I was in Mankato, and I happened to see a license plate that said C-130LM for C-130 Loadmaster. But I couldn't track down the person, but I put a note on his on his vehicle. So maybe we can make that connection. Well, I'm always looking for vets. And it's sometimes easy because people are wearing hats that say World War II veteran or Vietnam, but sometimes we got to get figuring based on a haircut or license plate or backpack they're carrying. But,
the important thing for all our veterans all over Minnesota to know is that there's a county veteran service officer in every county, and it's your job to know all the resources available to help our veterans with just about any kind of issue.
You're right there, and the resources are many. And sometimes we don't always know the answer, but we can find it. And usually within a matter of minutes or a couple of hours, we oftentimes will call another service officer who we know might be an expert in death benefits or pension benefits or Agent Orange.
So whatever they need to know, if you don't have it, you'll find it, and you'll help them through those issues and get them to the people that can help them the best.
That's right.
Greg?
Just like I was telling you a little bit earlier, last night someone tipped me off that there was a homeless Navy veteran living in a shelter right here in New Ulm. And so I was able to meet with her this morning, and we've tracked down her DD-214, and we're going to connect her with Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Homeless Program and other resources to help out.
Very good. Take care of those Navy personnel out there.
Yep.
Greg, VA's had a program for a few years called the Choice Program, and essentially is my understanding that that meant that if you lived over 40 miles from a local, either a CBOX or the VA hospital, that with appropriate approvals, you might get an opportunity to use civilian doctors. But now the Congress has done something and upgraded that, and it's called the VA's Mission Act. Can you tell us what you know about that?
Sure. The Mission Act just went into effect on the 6th of June, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It was passed by Congress a year earlier, and it is to enhance what they commonly now call care in the community. The Choice Program ended. It's done for. There's, it's dead and gone, and Mission Act has replaced it. So there's some differences, like you said, the 40-mile, that's obviously gone now. But now they've put into play a 30-minute drive time for primary care. If you live further away or if your drive time is more than 30 minutes to a VA primary care, then you can get care in your community for primary care. And if you're 60 minutes or more away from specialty care. You know, and specialty care is a lot of different things. Podiatry, audiology, dermatology, oncology, anything that a regular MD would not practice is specialty care.
So if a veteran thinks they want to look into mission care, that's something they have to get permission to use,
yeah,
isn't it?
You're right. Number one, you have to be enrolled in VA, in the VA healthcare system, and you have to have been seen in the last 24 months. A lot of times we'll have people that'll say, yeah, I went to the VA back in, 2005. Well, you're going to have to go back and reestablish your primary care with them, and then that's where you can start working on the Mission Act to be seen. You know, if it's in your hometown or if it's you might live 30 miles to a larger medical facility, that's how you start out, first by seeing the VA. In fact, I had a person call the other day, and they were a little disgruntled, but they said, well, we've got to go to the VA, and then he's eligible. And so that made sense. Yeah, they hadn't been seen in a couple of years.
So, Greg, we're just about out of time, but what our veterans should know is if they're eligible for care from the VA medical system, they should probably just get a hold of their county veteran service officer, and you can help them figure out how to access the VA Mission Act.
That's right. There's a county veteran service officer in every county seat. Some of the larger counties, like St. Louis up by Duluth, they've got offices, and Ely and Virginia and Hibbing, Stearns County, St. Cloud, they've got a guy out in Melrose. You can find all of us at our website, macvso.org, stands for Minnesota Association of countyveteranserviceofficers.org. We have a wonderful website, and you can find our photographs and our telephone numbers and our email addresses and a whole lot more about VA benefits.
MACVSO.org. Greg, thanks for joining us again today.
Hey, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. That was Greg Peterson, the Brown County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. This is Tom Lyons, host of Minnesota Military Radio, and I want to say thank you to the thousands of caring Minnesotans who have purchased Support Our Troops license plates. The funds from the sale of these special license plates are used by organizations such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, who provide grants to our Minnesota military families who experience financial emergencies due to service to this great country. You can help by purchasing Support Our Troop license plates, and it is a simple and powerful way to say thank you for the sacrifices our service members and families make to protect our country. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Casey Gunderson, Ryan Thone, Bill Ryan, Greg Peterson, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we are live from the Camp Ripley Training Center. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.